It was when one of my oldest son was I'm not sure how old, maybe 10, 12, probably 12 maybe. And we had Jonestown Ag, and we had a driveway that went in behind our place of business, and we had a fuel tank along the back of the business. And he was there with, I'm not sure if it was a tractor or a skid loader or what, and he was pumping fuel in. And this customer came up to go through the driveway, and he was, I guess, very impatient, and he wanted Kelvin to stop and shut down and so he can get through. And the fuel tank was just about full, and he said, well, I'll just finish this quick. And the gentleman got really angry and turned around and tore out the driveway. His stones were flying, and went out on the road and tore out in the road and just floated down the road. And he had a pickup and a camper. And everybody heard it that worked there, and they were wondering what ever happened, and we knew who it was. And so I'm like, whatever. And then so we start checking around. I didn't know my son was out back, and he said, yeah. He said he come up, and I just wanted to finish filling the fuel tank, and it was just like maybe 30 seconds, who knows? It wasn't that long, and this fellow got angry and left. And so I was like, wow, okay, wow, what do you do about that? So I prayed about it and thought, well, I'm just gonna call him and hear him out. And so I did. I called him, and I got his phone number and called him and heard him out. And he had his story. And I said, well, I'm sorry about that. I wasn't there, so I'm sorry. He said, your son should have moved. He didn't have a good attitude, and I wasn't there, so I don't know. My son said, you know, he didn't know he did anything wrong. And so I told him, I said, okay, gentlemen, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, what were you bringing your trailer for? He said, for state inspection. I said, okay, I'll tell you what. He said, I would like your business. I'd like you to bring the trailer back, your camper back, and we will inspect it with no charge. Just bring it back. I welcome you back. I'm sorry this happened. And, you know, I will talk to my son, but please bring your trailer back. We'll do for no charge. And if it takes some parts, then we'll charge you for the parts, but let's see. And so we left it that way. I didn't know if he's going to come back or not. Well, sure enough, he did. He brought the trailer back, unhooked it, and we inspected and lived up to our commitment, and he became a forever customer. The case was closed, and there was nothing. We'd come in often, and he was happy and act like nothing ever happened. So what do you call that? Like, what would you say that is? When we as Christians do business like that, and I'm going to call it tonight, the title is Try a Little Kindness. And you can open your Bibles to 2 Samuel, and we're going to talk about kindness tonight. And we have this word kindness in the Bible. And like I said, the message title is Try a Little Kindness. And we're all familiar with kindness. We really appreciate it when we receive it. I'm sure every one of us have experienced kindness in our life, and probably every one of us have experienced unkindness. We probably know how both feel, right? And a lot of times kindness is felt through, I would say, through emotion. Like we feel it in, you know, when it comes to us, we feel it in our emotions. It makes us pleasant, it makes us happy, it makes us want to do right things. And respond rightly. Like that gentleman I told you, he responded rightly. He humbled his heart and brought his camper back, left us do what we wanted to do for him, and I hope it made a difference in his life, choices that he made in his life. There's another man I gotta tell you about. I never knew this was happening. Another neighbor of ours was an older man, and he was a little difficult to work with. He kind of had a negative idea about Mennonites, sort of, and he just kind of, he was nice, but yet he had, you know, if we didn't quite do something like he thought it should be done, he would just go like this a little bit. And I told my employees and my son, I said, well, we're just going to be kind to this man, We're gonna be kind to him, and when he makes requests, we're gonna try and meet those requests, and we're gonna, you know, we're gonna, one of the things that we did, every year we had what we had 10% cash sales. Like, when you come into the store, you get 10% discount, but you need to pay it right away. Well, he didn't want to do that. He said, I have a charge account. And we had charge accounts set up. He says, why can't I charge? I want to come in, but why can't I charge this, get my 10% and get and let me charge it? But that wasn't our policy. It wasn't what we were doing. We was going cash sales. And so I said, okay, fine, we'll make that exception. Let's just work with that. It's all right, no big deal. Just one customer. And so we did. So through the years, we had a decent relationship, and he was nice, and then he passed away, and either the family member or the neighbors said, you know what? They said, Harold Eisenhower, they believe he went to heaven. I'm like, really? Well, praise the Lord. Like, what makes you believe that? And he said, this is what he said. He said, Harold Eisenhower, which was his name, said that Jonestown Ag showed kindness, and he said it made a difference in his choices, and he was a Christian. He became a Christian because of how we related to him. I never knew it. We just were kind. We just chose kindness. And so you have here in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and then David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? Now, you remember what Saul did to David? Chased him around in the mountaintops. They wanted to kill him. I mean, David went through a horrible experience with Saul. And David says, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Jumping down to verse 3. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Oh, so kindness comes from God. It wasn't something that was just manufactured within David. It was something that came from God, and David was able to express it. To show the kindness of God unto him. And Sibia said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. Dropping down to verse 7, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Verse 8, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? I mean, look at the self-condemnation that he had. And then you go down to verse 13. And so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. So you just have a little story here of David choosing to show kindness to the household of Saul, and the kindness came from God. So back in 1988, President George Bush, H. Bush, was inaugurated. In his statement, he said his goal was to be a kinder, more gentle nation. And he went on to describe, if I understand correctly, that this kindness is what you call reliable love. Consistent love. Reliable. And kindness is reliable. It's dependable. It protects reputations. Kindness protects reputations. I want you to get that. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Isn't that wonderful? Just to think that God, in his loving kindness, draws people to himself. And that's what happens in our earthly relationships. Have you ever been drawn to a kind person? Of course. I mean, there's people right now, we're working with the Sister Marisa and her end-of-life journey, and we have her with hospice, and the hospice nurse is amazing. Amazing kindness. I was just talking on the phone with my wife here this evening, and she called the hospice nurse and was talking to her, And my wife says, I'm just amazed the kindness that this woman has. And they talk about that they get training for this. They get training to be hospice nurses, and that's how they learn kindness. And my wife, we were talking, and they thought maybe we as a church, we should have training. So sometimes I lack kindness. And you probably do too. So I want to ask you tonight, I believe that kindness begets kindness. It means kindness produces kindness. It's kind of, what do they call that, reciprocal. It goes back and forth. So I want to ask you, so we believe in harvest, right? And there were some people talking about they're going to plant gardens soon. And so they're going to plant whatever they plant this time of the year. And they expect to harvest what they plant. Not maybe the exact seeds, but they produce likeness, right? You plant onions and you get harvest onions. You plant potatoes and you harvest potatoes. I want to ask you, so what are you harvesting in your life? Ask yourself that question. What is your harvest? What are you experiencing in your family relationships? What are you experiencing between husbands and wives? And what are you experiencing at work? Or the people that you engage with through life? Nobody's a hermit here tonight. You certainly have people that you engage with. What are you receiving from them? And I want to tell you, if you don't like what you're getting, if you don't like what you're harvesting, then you're going to have to decide to plant something different. It's that simple. Because we reap what we sow. It's not complicated tonight. It isn't. You don't have to go to a seminar to learn this. You can just learn it, just very simple. You plant and you receive what you plant. So if you don't like what you're harvesting, take a look at what you're sowing. Take a look at what you're planting. So I want to look at a couple different points here. First, I want to look at the what of kindness and the why of kindness and when kindness and where kindness should be. And some of them kind of fit together, but I have them divided up a little bit. So what is kindness? And I already touched on that. Kindness is gentleness. I think it was a scripture I want to look up. No, I did read that. Kindness is gentleness. It's to be helpful. It's considerate. It's friendly. Sometimes it's just a smile. They often translate kindness. It's hard to define kindness. I mean, you look up the word kindness, it's hard to define it because it's actually kind of like an emotion. It's kind of something that you feel and that you experience. But yet it's goodness and tenderness and friendliness and generosity. And actually, you know, I think kindness is a heart condition. A genuine love just is kind, right? I mean, it just is. If you love somebody, you just want to be kind to them. And if you love somebody and you discover that you're not kind, then you want to make it right. There's times that I need to make something right. Sometimes I don't get it right, and then I say, well, I'm sorry. I think that just happened recently. I can't think of the experience, but I know it's somewhere along the line recently. I apologize. I said, I'm sorry. I didn't respond properly. And why do I do that? Why do you do that? It's because you have love. If you don't have love, then you don't care about how people feel. You can be harsh and cruel and ugly, and you're just all right with that because you don't have love in your heart. So genuine love is where kindness springs from. Colossians, I like what Colossians says. Colossians 3 verse 12, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And I want to pick out the fact that there's times that we have to choose kindness. That time that I had to pick up that phone and talk to that gentleman that, that I felt was absolutely ridiculous how he behaved because my son didn't move right away when he wanted him to. I chose to put on kindness and talk to him with kindness, and I won his heart. We choose that. We don't live out the flesh. We're spirit controlled. We're Holy Spirit controlled, not by our temporal emotions and our reactions. And that's why he says we have a responsibility to put something on. And it's Christians that are doing this, and it's something that you have to choose. Not always, but there's times that we do. And there's times that you cannot wait for the feeling. It's a little bit like that little child that you tell them that they beat up on their sibling, and you say, go back and tell them they're sorry, and they don't want to. And then they go back and say, sorry. And you know it's not for real. You know they weren't sorry. And so you there's times that you can't wait until you have the feeling. Sometimes you just have to choose to say, I'm sorry, even though inside you're struggling, but because you're a Christian, you put on kindness. And it's amazing what happens when you do that, because it grows on you, and you actually find a joy in that. And you, like he says, you have, if you have, any man have a quarrel against any, forgive each other, and there's all tied together. Well, the condition of the heart really makes a difference if you can make that choice. And there's times that, you know, there's times that we're exhausted. I know there's times that I can excuse myself and, well, I'm tired, I'm sorry, I'm tired, I'm just, oh man, a hard day, and you get a little impatient and harsh. And well, I know that can happen, but let's not excuse ourselves. let's not make too big a room for ourselves. You know, if you're tired and exhausted, then maybe you should go to bed earlier. And maybe the preacher shouldn't preach as long, I guess. So I'll try and make it shorter tonight. Let's go to the next one. Why do we need to be kind? Let's go to Titus. In Titus 3, verse 3, he says this. For we ourselves, this is the why. Why we need to be kind. I wanted you to get this. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient. That means we were difficult people, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice. That means difficult, harsh people, anger and envy and hateful and hating one another. I mean, that's a terrible description of people. It's horrible. But then verse 4 says, but after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. So while we were these harsh, angry, divers lusts, being deceitful, disobedient people, God showed up with kindness and won our hearts. And that's exactly what happens in our earthly relationships. Just like that customer was ridiculous and angry and tore out and made a big dust storm in our stone driveway, and you look at that and you think, whatever. But you turn around and show kindness and you win their heart. That's exactly what God did to us. And that's why we need to do it to other people, because God did it to us. Because we're Christians. That's why. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Wonderful, wonderful scripture. We have received kindness, therefore we are called to show kindness to this broken world. We live in a broken world. Some people can't help themselves. And I've taught my employees many times, we've had so many phone calls where people are on the phone and they act terrible. And I say, well, it's just expected. It's the brokenness of the world. And we're to be the light of the world, shining through, and we help these people. We give them hope. And that's why we need to be kind, because Christ did it for us. I like what Psalms 103 says. Psalms 103 is a beautiful psalm. I'm just going to read that quickly. Psalm 103 verses 10, it says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And that's why in life we cannot reward people according to their behavior. We must rise above that. People can treat us terrible, and that's what God did. He did not reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from him. Like as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. And that is why, the question is why we need to show kindness, because of what God has did for us. And it's just, we need to be. If we call ourselves Christians, then we need to be kind. If we'd have been dealt with according to our transgressions, we would be all damned to hell. And thank God that through his kindness, he drew us. And we're here tonight, and we have our names written in the book of life. And we're called his sons and daughters, and he's not ashamed of us. I love that. Number three is, when ought we to be kind? Galatians 6, I want to read that. Galatians 6, verse 10, it says, and as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so like I said, these points blend together. But it says, as you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto how many men? How many people? All people. We don't get to choose. You're part of God's kingdom, and it says all. See, we struggle with that because there's some people we don't really feel like being kind to, right? I mean, there could be some people even that you go to church with that you really don't feel like being kind to. Maybe this group is small enough that you don't have that problem. But you get 200 people together, there might be some people in that church that you don't feel like being kind to. He says, all, do good unto all men. And especially the household of faith. Oh, you mean I have to be kind to my neighbors and these people that make it difficult? Yes. Yes, and you do good to them. You know, it's so easy to miss opportunities. And I just want to encourage you to pray. Pray and ask God to give you opportunities to show the kindness of God's love to people. And he'll open those doors. It's amazing. It's amazing what God will do. That you pray and ask God to do that, and he will give you opportunities. And there's times already that I had opportunity, and I knew that I failed that opportunity, and I asked God to forgive me for that. Because I knew God gave me the opportunity and I didn't take it. And it was wrong for me to not take that opportunity because God gave it to me. And so when you start approaching life like that, God will give you opportunities. And what's amazing, he'll give you grace to do it. And it's not difficult. It's not hardship. Because he'll give you that grace to be kind when he gives you the opportunity. Have you ever been inspired to do a deed of kindness and you procrastinated and the door was removed? I mean, the door was closed or the door was no longer there. Maybe you're inspired to write a note or send a message. Or maybe you know that you should just look at that person, look them in the eye and say, I love you. I care about you. I mean, I think of the Good Samaritan. I mean, I'm sure he had some goals and ambitions for his day. He probably had some plans. I don't know what I'm sure he wasn't just traveling down the road looking for some wounded person laying along the road. He had a purpose. But he stopped. He saw that there was a need. The door was there. It was open, and he saw that need. He took that need and met that need, and even went the second and third and fourth mile, I believe, when he said he took him to the inn. Then he said, okay, when you accumulate a bill, I'll be back later and I'll help pay the bill. Have you ever done that? There's people all around us that are bruised and hurting and wounded. There's financial brokenness, there's emotional brokenness, there's spiritual problems, they're all around us, and we need to ask God to open those doors. I know we can't meet all those needs, but there's people that God wants us to encounter, and when you pray and ask God to help you and lead to those people, he'll open those doors, and he'll give you a place that you can show kindness. What about tips? I got to tell you this. Being in business, and this is shame on us as Mennonites and Anabaptists, but we get more tips from people that I don't know if they're even claim to be Christians. And we get more appreciation and more blessing, and they'll pull out a wallet and they'll lay a $100 tip down because they just appreciate what we did for them. And I don't see any sign of Christianity. I'm not here to judge them. They're certainly ain't bold with it. And then we'll have Anabaptists, and I love Anabaptists and I love Mennonites. This is not to push down our church culture and us as Mennonites, but we have to face this, brothers and sisters, and shame on us. But I have more Mennonites that get grumpy and fuss about their bills and pay late than anybody else in my whole business. And it grieves me. Like, whatever. And I don't know if we ever get a tip from a Mennonite, but we'll get a tip from ungodly people. And they'll give us a tip. And I'm preaching to myself. I'm talking about myself. So I've been convicted of this, and I've been trying to be more liberal with offering a tip. I got out at the airport when they delivered, they dropped me off. At Harrisburg, I used a private car lot to park my vehicle, and they take you over. I really like it. And the fellow got out, and I gave him a tip, and he thanked me. And I'm trying to do that. But it's not in my Mennonite genes. I have to go against my Mennonite genes. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And this has something to do with kindness. And we get stingy and it hurts us. And like I said, I appreciate this. Not that I'm thinking that we should give, be more careless with our Mennonite Anabaptist doctrine. We just need to do better. That's what. Well, moving on. The Bible says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men. A Quaker said this one time, I shall pass through this world but once. Any good I can do or any kindness I can show to any human being, let me do it and not defer it. For I shall not pass this way again. See, brothers and sisters, we only have one life to live. This is only one opportunity. The dash between our birth date and our death date is the one opportunity we have. And we get to decide what's in that little dash. I think sometimes the chief enemy of kindness is busyness. And I don't know what to do about that. I'm trying to work on that. I guess that's a work in progress, but we just are busy all the time. I think the older I get, I'm trying to take more time for people and opportunities in the community. But we have jobs, we have appointments, we have bills to pay. You can't be late for work all the time. But yes, let's pray for opportunities. So we have what is kindness, the why of kindness, and then we talked about the when. Now I want to talk about the where, and this ties in with the when also. But where is kindness expressed? And 2 Timothy talks about that a little bit. Second Timothy 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but to be gentle. And that word gentle, if you look it up, means kind. Unto all men, apt to teach and patient and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, and so on. And so the servant of the Lord must not strive, but to be gentle. Leadership. Leadership needs to be gentle, not quarrelsome. And that's really, really important, especially, you know, and I mean, I know this scripture is talking about leadership in the church, but I just want to broaden it up a little bit. Fathers are leaders. And you, I mean, you do a harm to your authority when you're unkind to your children or your wife. Mothers are leaders in the home for your children. And when you're unkind to them, it's a disgrace or a dishonor. It's a discredit for your position as a mother or as a husband. And so he's telling us here, be gentle. You can't be quarrelsome. You can't be a person that strives. And it's so important. So in times of conflict, I broke this down to a couple of different points, is where is kindness expressed in times of conflict? When there's disagreements, there's times in life there's going to be disagreements. There will be. There's times of husbands and wives have disagreements. I know that. I've been married for what? We're going to celebrate our 40th anniversary this year. So 40 years. And sure, I can't say here we never had disagreements. I can't even say that I've always been kind. And I'm sorry about that. But I want to grow. And we grow in our kindness. But kindness needs to be present when we have disagreements. In a brotherhood. In our communities. I'll tell you another story. Back when we bought the farm, we moved in the farm, and the farm was not a working farm. It was an old dairy farm that was no longer in operation, and I was not a dairy farmer and wasn't planning to be a dairy farmer, and it was only like maybe 25 cows. So we wanted to build a pig barn, and we had got that all set up, and I was used to raising pigs, and we were going to build a nursery barn. And the neighbors found out about this farmer that was going to build a pig farm, and they were against the pig farm. And they didn't quit. Well, the township proceeded and gave me a permit, but this community rose up and they pulled people in from out of state, and they had a kind of like a coalition against this Weaver family that wants to build a pig farm, a pig house, just one. And we were outside of town, and I had the permit. We went to a township meeting. That building got packed full. All the community was out there, and there was people there that were angry, and the township voted, and they gave me a permit. And I went home. So what do I do about this? I could call the bulldozer people and build the pig farm. But I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to start out in the neighborhood like that. And so I called the people that were running this thing. There were some people that were the leaders just down the road in town. And I said, my dad and I would like to come, and we'd like to sit on your porch, on your patio, and we'd like to talk. And I said, can we come and talk? And they said, yes, you can. So we sat down and we talked, sat around that table. I think we drank some tea together and we talked. They wouldn't give in. And I told them, I said, I want you to know that I have a permit and I could call the excavators and we could dig a pit right now and you can't stop me. But that's not what we want to do. I said, I want to have a good relationship with the neighbors. I don't want to be enemies in the neighborhood. So what can we do? So we went home and we start considering and praying about this. And God opened a door up for us to consider building a chicken house, a pullet house, a cage house. And so we checked into that with Wenger Feeds, and they got on board. They were looking for one. And so we sat down, we had a meeting. They wrote up the contract. And so I went back to these people and I said, okay, this is the deal. I said, I got a permit to build a pig farm. But we have the possibility of building a chicken house. I can get a permit. I already had talked to the township and asked them if they'll give me a permit for a chicken house. They said, yes, we will. Because these group of people sued the township. I mean, this was a big deal. This wasn't going to go away. They sued the township over this thing for giving me a permit. And so they would have had to go to court, and the township is overjoyed to give me a permit for a chicken house, so they don't have to go to court with the neighborhood. And so I went back to those people and I said, okay, I have this permit. If you sign a letter, that certified letter that you will not make a problem if I build a chicken house, I'll hand this permit back and I'll get the township to give me a permit for the chicken house, but I need to have a certified letter that you're not going to resist me. And they said, yes, we'll do that. So they wrote up a letter, got it notarized, gave it back to me. I went back to the township, and they gave me a permit for the chicken house, and our neighbors were happy neighbors. They came out, we built the chicken house, I showed them the chicken house, and they were just happy. The problem all went away. And I just share that story because we as Christians need to try and work with people, try and come up with agreements. And I know it doesn't always work that easy or that way, but that's where kindness needs to come. They need to see who we are. Anger, going to court, fighting with the neighbors doesn't go so well. Kindness needs to be in the brotherhood, in our fellowship, in our conversations after church. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It means, you know, we're going to eat this fruit. And, you know, you love life and you're going to have that kind of fruit. And if you love conflict and death, and then you're going to have that kind of fruit. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So everyone needs kind words. Kindness needs to be to hurting people. You know, there's times that people go through hard times. There's times that people go through anxiety. And there's times that, you know, that you just don't understand. You don't understand what they're going through. You know, I just met with a sister in our church just real recently that she's struggling, really struggling. An older sister, and she's having trouble and sleeping at night, and she's just really struggling. And I just wanted to show her some kindness. I told her, I said, I don't know what's wrong, but I know God does, and He loves you, and He cares about you, and God's going to help you. And you have to show those kindness. In Philippians 2 verse 4 says, look, not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. You have to get rid of self and just love, and I could, and not judge people. Rather support them. Be present. Maybe it's just a hand, a squeeze. Like I said, look in their eyes and say, I love you and I care about what you're going through. I don't understand what you're going through, but I care and I'm going to pray for you. You wouldn't believe what that does for people. I know a sister in our circles that one time she was going through a hard time, and it was really a difficult time. And this sister came up to her and gave her a big hug and said, I love you and I care about you. And she still talks about that today, how much that meant to her. A non-judgmental spirit is awesome, because we don't know how to figure it out. We don't always understand what's all going on. We don't. But that love and that kindness can be one of the keys to help those people work through whatever they're going through. Because scolding and getting, you know, emotional response just doesn't work. I love the story in Elijah. Elijah had a hard time in First Kings, and you could look at that, and I'm not going to take the time to read that, but you know what Elijah wished he could have died. And God came on the scene and said, what are you doing here? And then Elijah went on and said that everybody's against him and he's the only one left. And God said, no, you're not the only one left. But in that whole dialogue, read it, 1 Kings in chapter 19, and you read that story, and God never condemned Elijah. He just told him, he met the need, he fed him with the angel fed him, Then God told him to get up and get to work. And never criticize him for feeling like he's alone. Nobody likes him. He wishes he could die. God never rebuked him for that. And sometimes we as humans go through those experiences. And we as Christians are called to be kind and loving to those people and help them. Kindness in our homes is another place. Kind to your children. Kind words to your children. You know, sometimes our expectations are too high and our opinions of ourselves are too high, and we get impatient with people, and we say things we shouldn't say. And it happens with the people that we love the most. Isn't that something? Sometimes we struggle with discipline out of anger and out of emotion instead of out of love and out of kindness. And so just those areas in life that just pray and ask God to help you to be kind. I want to wrap it up with one story. And this is a true story. A story of a man that had a very excruciating, painful heartache in his life. And he chose to visit a church. And he went to Sunday school and listened to the message. And he was leaving the church with a very heavy heart. As he was leaving the parking lot, there was a woman there also leaving the parking lot. And somehow his eye caught her eye, and she looked at him and she smiled and waved to him. Now, these people didn't know each other, but she just smiled and waved to him. Just a smile and a wave. And he said, I went home that night and I couldn't sleep. And he said the devil began to tell him to take the easy way out. Life is not worth living. He said, I knew it would be a selfish way, but the devil called it the easy way. His mind went to the shotgun in the closet. He said, I began to get up to move towards that gun. Then God showed up and brought an image to my face, and it was the image of a woman smiling and a hand in the air. Just a smile and just a wave. He said, that smile saved my life. True story. That smile saved my life. That woman probably didn't remember, never knew this happened. Just an act of kindness, just a small thing. The beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ coming from a smile and a wave of the hand saved that man's life. And I think he became a Christian, or he wouldn't have been telling this story. I don't know the whole story. So briefly, the way of kindness, we find it in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And, you know, when we become Christians, We just need to grow in our kindness. And I know that there's times that there's weakness, and I know that there's times that we fail, but I believe tonight, if you want to grow in your kindness, then you need to acknowledge your unkindness. So if you're tonight and you know that you've been unkind today to somebody, you need to make that right tonight. Whether it's your loved ones that you live with or somebody that out somewhere that you can pick up the phone and you make that right, and I will tell you that you will grow in your kindness. But when we pretend that we're not unkind, we'll never grow. Never. If I look in the face and look in the mirror and my face is dirty and I say it's not dirty, I'm not going to wash it. But if I acknowledge my face is dirty, then I'm going to wash it. It's that simple. Show a little kindness. Goes a long way. I'm going to give an invitation tonight. Maybe somebody wants to open their hearts and ask for prayer in their need. What shall we sing?
Hymn to the Church, 736.
736. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, tonight's the night to make that choice. Don't push it off. God wants to give you salvation and begin your journey with Him. Shall we sing?